Welcome back, Len Martin, back here on Black 1430. And we are joined now by TechSidelines.com's Chris Coleman. Chris, how you doing, man?
I'm doing great. I appreciate you bringing me in today. I'm afraid you might kind of built me up a little too much in that intro.
Calling you a Hall of Famer?
Yeah.
You're my Hall of Famer.
I appreciate it.
You're my Hall of Famer. Let's jump into things. Before we talk about Bemis Hokies, let's talk a little hoops. I know that we're actually less than 8 weeks away from college game day and East Carolina being down here, but or I guess across here. But let's talk a little hoops. What's the latest on Nigel Munson? What do you know? I know there's rumors out there. What do you know? What can you put your hands on as far as him transferring or not?
Well, it's obvious that he's considering it with as many reports as you've seen. Now, the school has not released anything official. Nigel or anybody from his family, none of those guys have returned any calls from any of the media or anything like that. So right now it's basically hearsay. You know, if I had to put money on it, I would think he probably wouldn't be back next year. Generally, I believe where there's smoke, there's a fire, you know. I think Nigel was going to be a good point guard for Tech, you know, and still could be if he comes back. He was a former top 100 recruit. He got to learn behind Xavier, Dowdell, and Jamon Gordon last year, which was obviously very important. He's a true point guard who's a good shooter when he's wide open, very good shooter when he's wide open. He's just a true point guard, which Tech really has not had in quite a long time. They've had combo guards and Jamon Gordon and Xavier Dowdell, but never a true point guard. So his loss could obviously hurt, not only from that standpoint, but the fact that Tech looks like they'll be starting a freshman at point guard next year, either Hank Thorns or Malcolm Delaney.
Len Martez talking with TechSidelines.com, Chris Coleman, and you mentioned Xavier and Jamon Gordon. They both had their first game, I believe it was Friday night, against each other. The Sonics played the Mavs, and Xavier is on Seattle. Jamon is on Dallas. They saw each other Friday night. Unfortunately, neither one of them fared too well. I believe Xavier went 1-for-7, and Jamon didn't score a lick of a point on Friday night. Now, granted, there are what you call butterflies, their first pro game, even though it's a summer league game. Hopefully, Xavier can rebound tonight. I believe the Sonics play the Knicks tonight.
Sounds right.
So, with that said, you mentioned Hank Thorns. What's the latest with him coming to Virginia Tech?
I believe he's actually already on campus and enrolled for the second summer session. He's a very good student. I believe he had a 3.2 GPA and over 1,200 on his SAT, so there was never a qualification issue there. You know, he's a short guy, listed at 5'9", 5'10", probably more like 5'8", or something like that. But I think he's going to be a fan favorite as soon as he steps on the court, because he knows how to lead a team, he knows how to distribute the basketball, and he's really a fun guy to watch play. He's a pure point. He can score, he's a good shooter. Obviously, with his height, he won't be doing as much scoring on the college level as he did in high school. But this is what really makes you look forward to seeing him play. The guy's 5'8", and he averaged 12.5 rebounds per game this past year.
Wow.
For his Las Vegas high school team. So that tells you something about what he's made of.
So he's locked and sealed. He is a Hokie then.
He's a Hokie. His letter intent that he signed was non-binding because he signed it so late, but from what I've heard, he is on campus now.
Okay. I've been here only for, let's say, a little more than a week now. We'll get into the Hokie football scene now. Been here a little more than a week, and nonetheless, I've heard some people aren't too pleased that College Game Day, ESPN, Lee Corso, Kirk Herbstreit, Chris Fowler, ESPN crew, are actually coming to town. What has been the feeling in the majority of people that go to TechSideline.com? What are you hearing from them in regards to the Game Day crew coming down here on September 1st?
Well, I think everybody from the Tech standpoint thinks it's great that they're coming. Tech fan, their only problem with it is the game is a noon kickoff, and game day starts at 10 and ends at noon. There's really going to be no time to go out to game day and enjoy it, because you got to be in the stadium well before kickoff. Once you see Tech's entrance then or Sandman, you'll understand that. You're going to miss the last few minutes of game day if you even want to go to game day. You know, it'd be much better if it was a 3:30 kickoff or a night game. People could get a lot more enjoyment. Nooners are not popular around here in Tech's fan base, because it doesn't give you a lot of time to tailgate or anything like that. And throwing game day in there. Game day is great if the kickoff is later in the day, but being a noon kickoff and a 10 o'clock game day, it's too much stuff going on in there at the same time. That's really Tech fans' only complaint.
Well, I've heard, and obviously I wasn't here in April, and I wasn't here when what occurred in April, but some, and I've heard some people say that they're not happy because it's not, I guess ESPN is making their trip here almost to, I guess, gain something out of Vitek playing their first game on September 1st and, you know, almost profiting from what occurred in April. Mm-hmm. Have you heard any of that?
You know, I think a lot, I'm sure there are a few Tech people that feel that way, but I think the majority of that is coming from other fan bases. The thing you have to understand is ESPN comes to Blacksburg a whole lot. I mean, the Tech is on ESPN more than pretty much anybody else. And when you listen to Chris Fowler and Lee Corso and Herb Street talk about their experiences, one of the first places they mention is always Virginia Tech. Fowler wrote an article back in April about coming to game day, coming to Tech for game day twice back in 1999, which going to the same school twice in 1 year back then was unprecedented.
Right.
And he said he credited Virginia Tech fans with setting the standard for drawing huge crowds to game day. Tech fans started the tradition of, oh, it's not just a TV show that happens to be on campus. It's a TV show with half the crowd that's going to the game in the background, you know. And, Fowler credits Tech fans for turning it into that back in 1999. So those guys really enjoy coming here. And I think it means more to them, to those guys, to those three personally, than making a buck.
Good point. That is a good point. Let me throw out some names to you. Xavier Deeby, Vince Hall, Brandon Orr, all could have left for the NFL. Why'd they come back?
I think you got to look at each of them differently. I think Vince Hall is a guy, he's very instinctive. But when you put him in that NFL combine, he's a guy that's only going to run maybe a 4.7 or a 4.8 in the 40. Even his weight room numbers aren't as good as other linebackers in the program. He's just really instinctive. His playing speed is a lot faster than his testing speed, so I think he made the correct decision to come back for another year because he's a guy that's not going to wow the scouts when they get him in an individual workout. Xavier DB is only about 220 pounds. There are strong safeties and free safeties in the NFL that are bigger than Xavier DB, so I think it's good for him to come back another year. Also, Brandon Orr, he's only been a starter for 1 year. You know, last year. And he missed a couple games, so there's a durability question there with Brandon Orr. So I think he made the correct decision in coming back for another year as well to add to his resume.
Eight returning plays on defense means, barring injuries, things shouldn't change on the defense. But offensively, you lose David Clowney, who was drafted by the Packers. How big of a loss is Clowney, and are they deep enough to offset his loss?
Clowney would normally be a very big loss. I was always a David Clowney fan, and I thought he could have done more. Not necessarily it was his fault, but just in the system, Tech system, and he's sharing time with so many other good wide receivers. I mean, they're probably all four of those senior wide receivers on Tech's team have a chance to make an NFL roster. Maybe the guy with the least chance is Josh Heimann, but Eddie Royal, Justin Harper and Josh Morgan are all legitimate NFL prospects, especially Harper, I think, who's about 6'4 and runs a sub 4.4 in the 40-yard dash. Those guys are big-time athletes and can do a lot, so there won't be any drop-off at wide receiver losing Clowney, I don't think, but he was a very good player.
Len Martez sitting alongside TechSidelines.com, Chris Coleman, and we talked about losing Clowney. You got also some losses on the special teams. You lose a kicker, a punter, a long snapper. And as important as Beamer Ball stresses special teams, other than maybe the offensive line, could this be a area of concern?
Absolutely it could be. And you look at each season, Virginia Tech, they're known for their special teams, but a lot of their big losses throughout their history, they've lost because their special teams blew it in a game. There was an NC State in 2004, when we dropped a punt snap inside the 5-yard line. Every game Tech plays against Florida State, there's always a special teams mistake. Last year, in the bowl game, there was an onside kick that Georgia recovered. It could play a big deal. And not only did they lose their kicker, punter, and long snapper, they lost their holder as well. Nick Schmidt the punter was their holder. So they've got a whole new group in there, and it's, you know, something like that could play a big role in a game, especially early in the season in a place like Death Valley.
Now let's talk about what people most like to talk about, dissecting. That's quarterback play. They don't call it Monday morning quarterback for nothing. So they like dissecting quarterback play. Does recent history tell us that Frank Beamer at some point this season would pull Glennon for Ike Whitaker?
I think Sean Glennon, he would have to be playing very poorly to get pulled. The thing about Glennon right now is, you know, last year he was behind. I would argue that's the worst offensive line Virginia Tech has ever had last year. And Glennon, he's not a running quarterback. And the thing about you have to understand around here is Tech puts their quarterbacks in yellow jerseys during practice, which means they can't be hit. So Glennon, he was not used to being pressured in practice or having to scramble or anything like that. Same thing in high school. He just stood in the pocket and heaved it downfield to Eddie Royal. That was his top wide receiver in high school, Eddie Royal. So last year was his first time, probably in his entire life, that he's ever faced any kind of pressure. So what they did this past spring is they left the yellow jerseys off the quarterbacks, which means they could be tackled. So he had to get back there and scramble. And he was much better this past spring because of that. He was much better outside the pocket. He was already pretty good in the pocket. He could stand in there and under pressure and throw a pretty good ball. But when things broke down and he scrambled outside the pocket is when he made his poor decisions. And he was much better in that regard this past spring.
So you don't you really, honestly, unless he really falls flat on his face, he's not going to get pulled.
Exactly. I thought if anything, he's further ahead of Whitaker after this past spring than he was. Whitaker had a tough start to this past spring and was not accurate throwing the ball and kind of fell even further behind.
All right, Chris, we look forward to talking to you all season long. And we love our partnership with TechSideline.com.